You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is Culture Club HDX
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland Nelson and Shavonna Robert Schreiber.
Hello, I'm Lisa Holland Nelson Bowman Lombardi. The Fashionista bio isn't biography, babe. No, not biology. I'm the biography babe and Coach Nelson, the greatest football coach who's never walked a sideline. Probably never will at this point. And I'm here today with my beautiful, blessed, brilliant, black and bossy co-host.
Why do you say beloved anymore?
I'm rotating. I'm rotating. But I am getting black and bossy in everyone.
Every time.
I'm not forgetting it because that's what you are.
Okay. Shavonna Roberts Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, the executive producer, the eighth wonder of the world, parliamentarian.
Doesn't work. We all know that.
But more importantly, we have a special guest to help us deconstruct the Super Bowl.
Yay.
Because all we did was just, you know.
We have a lot to say about it.
We had lots of things to say.
Just so you know, guys, our Culture Club sports crew.
Yes, which includes. Yep.
Of Shavonna, me, our football husband, Rusty Burnett, and our baseball boyfriend, Scott Rosell. Mm-hmm. We have a text group during games, and we were all over. Scott was even in Texarkana, I think.
Yeah, he flew himself there and didn't invite us, but that's another topic
thing.
For another show.
It's okay, because now we got the real pro here.
Who's here?
Welcome Rick Smith, former general manager and executive vice president of football operations for the Houston Texans. Just for me, of course. A Purdue University alumnus.
It's a Boilermaker, right?
I am.
Rick began his career as a coach before transitioning to the Denver Broncos front office. He became the NFL's youngest general manager in 2006, leading the Texans to multiple division titles and playoff appearances. Smith is a respected figure in the NFL, known for his strategic player acquisition and leadership. Rick, thank you for joining us. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl, but first.
Oh, God.
What do you think about CJ?
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
I need to talk about my boy.
Okay.
So, I love CJ.
That's a broad question. I think CJ is a fantastic young football player.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that the answer?
Yep, that's the answer. So let's talk about our actual.
Let's go to the football.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Seattle one. So everybody knows this. Seattle won the game 29-13. And so, first of all, speaking of the Texans, I was thinking the whole time, Kenneth Walker III, we need to figure out how to get him. He was great.
Oh, my gosh.
He was so good. But anyway, so Rick.
But Darling, too. I mean, the quarterback. I mean, I had to be for him. I mean, the comeback kid. How do you like.
Yeah, you know, that's right. You were for him, but
there's a lot of storylines.
Okay, so the one we want to talk about is when you think about the Super Bowl, what do you think defined this game in particular?
Well, I think it'd be easy to say that Seattle's defense, it was so dominant, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do love the young man that you just mentioned, and he had a heck of a game, and I think he should have been MVP.
Yeah,
he was fantastic, and made some plays for them, and got their offense moving in some rhythm. Which is important for that offense. You've got to have some running, success in order for some of the other plays to work. And he certainly did that to start the game. And as the game was, early in the game, did a great job. But that defense, I think, was what really set the tone. And that was the thing about the game that I remember.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of defense, so, we go back and forth about this. So some people say defense wins games. And we're like, no, you have to have offense. You have to score points.
We need an O-line.
Right. I mean, but it's just interesting.
If they don't score, they don't win.
Well, right. Yeah, but from your lens, again, thinking about, your lens as a general manager and executive in the NFL, when you think about, personnel groupings and pressure rules, like what do you think most consistent? What do you think about most consistently during the game?
Well, it depends on what's happening with the game plan, right, and what you're trying to accomplish. I think what Seattle did right away is they were going to make sure that they were going to pressure that young quarterback.
Mm.
And they did it in a number of different ways. I mean, they were able to get pressure just by rushing four, which is when you can do that, you can do pretty much anything.
What did you say about rushing four?
Just four D linemen without any kind of pressure, any kind of blitzing.
Michael, don't shake your head like you know what it meant.
If you can put pressure on the quarterback without having to bring an extra man, then it really, it turns out to be a long day. And it turned out to be a long day for Drake. Yeah.
So I saw Mac Brown maybe just the 3 days before, and he talked about how much confidence he had in May because he said, you know, he's a winner, he's a competitor, and he kind of fell apart.
Well, pressure can make a pipe bust. I mean, that Super Bowl, it's a big game. And I don't put everything on him. He certainly didn't play the way he's capable of playing, or even how he's played before. But that defense, I think that goes back to my first answer. That defense is pretty incredible. I mean, listen, I think the Texans have as good a defense. It's a championship caliber defense. And a defense like that, because of what you just said, defense win championships. Mm-hmm. You can ride an average or mediocre offense to a championship with that kind of dominant defense.
Look at their offense. I mean, what was it, four or five field goals? Mm-hmm. They're at six field goals?
I mean,
the offense wasn't winning the game. The defense was.
Well, no. And the two things that I look at, you know, that will predict, you know, whether you win or lose a game, you know, turnovers, right? And Sam did a great job of not turning the ball
during
the postseason. And then, you know, red zone efficiency and how do you score? So you're right. New England was in the game for a while because they couldn't score. They were kicking field goals, which gave them a chance. But Seattle's defense was just so dominant that you never really felt like they had a chance. Even though they weren't scoring touchdowns, I just never really felt like New England was threatening.
So here I am. We're in our text group. I'm like, Rusty. Me and Rusty are like, but it's coming. We're coming. Yeah. We're coming
they
back.
They were for New England.
Well, we were. Uh-huh. And it was...
It wasn't about anything but the quarterbacks for me.
Yeah.
I don't love the Seahawks. I mean, other than our friend Kay is there.
Yeah.
And I was texting with her, too.
Mm-hmm.
She's friends with the owner. And I didn't realize the owner was a woman. So
look at me. I didn't know that either. But see?
Yeah, I know. Look. I absolutely love the trophy presentation. Mm-hmm. I generally don't even care who won. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cry.
She's such a fan. You know?
Yeah.
You're such a fan.
I'm such a fan.
So does this make you feel better, though, now that Rick has said that the Texans' defense is, you know, that same caliber?
No, because I feel like they were. I feel like CJ had a day like, what's his name, May had.
Drake.
Drake.
He had a season.
Two of them, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'm more unhappy with my love D'Amico than CJ. I mean,
see, we differ in that opinion. But
well,
anyway,
what
D'Amico's confidence in putting him back
well,
in.
Well, I think we differ because I think D'Amico. Well, here's the thing. The coach can only coach to a certain extent. You got to play. You are out there with the ball.
Well, I understand, but he should have recognized he wasn't going to play. Mm. He did not play in the first quarter or the two or three before that.
But Magical and I have already corrected you about this, lovely, and what? That between CJ and the other quarterback, what's his name, Magical? CJ is the better athlete. He may be,
but he was the losing quarterback.
He's
in
a better
big
athlete.
Way.
Now, here's the one thing.
Here we go.
Yay. Mm-hmm.
You coach differently in the postseason than you do in the regular season.
Okay.
So just strategically, you've got to think about it a little bit differently, right? Mm-hmm, that, you know, you see people going for it on fourth and short a lot during the regular season. When you get to the postseason, the objective is to advance.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is what your singular focus is, to advance, and you got a quarterback playing like that, then if he doesn't give you the best chance to win that game, then it's hard to look at your football team and have them know that you are giving them the best chance if you stick with a guy who is not performing well that day. Personally, I would have talked about that. In fact, people that I was watching the game with that day, I talked about, you got to think about pulling this guy. How do you walk in the locker room and look at those guys?
She's so excited. Rick, you're making her day in so many ways.
Now, that doesn't mean you don't go. You go back to him next week because he's your guy.
Yeah.
But you've got to advance. Yeah. And if he's not giving you that chance,
when it's
completely, completely obvious the way that it was.
Okay, but here's the thing. From a confidence standpoint, so I think if I'm that person, right, and I am the leader, I'm the quarterback, whatever, and you take me out, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like that psychologically, what does that do to the player?
Well, the way you handle it is important, and they're all professionals. I mean, this is professional football. Dude, you can't turn the ball over like that and give us a chance to win. So mm-hmm. you've got maybe having you because you said earlier, mm-hmm. those three games that you set out gave you an opportunity to really catch a different kind of perspective of the game, and mm-hmm. it helped you. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can do the same thing for you here. So you can figure
are you running for office next? That was a real politician.
I mean, and not a, listen, in retrospect, everybody's right, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that. I think the conversation, I'm pretty sure it did, mm-hmm. Should have been had, number mm-hmm. one. Number two, it's a wonderful opportunity for D'Amico and that coaching staff to look back in an after-action kind of thing and mm-hmm. talk about the decisions and how to manage a situation like that again. But, you know, the other thing is, you're right, psychologically, and if he's your quarterback, but he's still a young player.
This is
and
true.
And there's still opportunity for him to
Magical
grow and
agrees
to learn.
With you.
So, you know, I think it was, first of all, they had a great season. That defense is going to be good for a number of years, and it is a window now because it is that good. That and then CJ will be better next time. He will not. I didn't think he could turn the ball over like that two games in a row.
Are we
certain? He won't do it again. He won't do that.
You don't think so?
He'll be better. He'll be
better.
I
hope so. So here's something. I heard like there was an emotional family thing going on, which is why his mother even came in the locker room before this game.
Look at this one over here. This is like Shelly Wade, ear to the street. She knows all the dirt.
No,
you nor me. I mean, we actually don't know if this is a real thing, Rick. This is like, you know, I don't know.
It was on the interweb.
It was a reel on Instagram, and so therefore.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
Well,
I heard that, which definitely, you know, could affect. It's, you know, you're human. People yes. are human. I mean, emotional family things get you distracted.
They do. But, you know, this is when I think of other great athletes. And we talked about this, that, you know, are
they
human.
Don't. They're not human, though.
Well, I don't.
I think CJ's still human.
I just think that there is, you said, Eric, this is your job. Can you show up at work and just like, you know, fumble the ball? No, you can't. You'll get fired in real life. So I think sometimes you have to learn how to compartmentalize and put those things to the side, and then you can think about that later. This is about mental mastery, I think, at a certain level. I mean, that's my opinion.
If we're turning the conversation back to the one that we were having before.
Oh, we are.
About
the Super Bowl. We are.
I'll tell you another young man who learned in that game and has to be better next year, and that's the left tackle. He had a tough day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He'll be better. But he had a tough day. That again, you know, the pressure that defense can put on you, and the athletes that they have up front, they're big and powerful, and he's got some technique things that he's got to get fixed. He's giving up the edge a little bit too much and getting parallel and getting bull rush. I mean, there are things that he will be better at.
Giving up the edge. I'm just going to start saying that. I'm going to start saying everything you've said. I'm going to just start saying that. What's the four rush?
I won't remember any of it.
What's the
four man rush,
giving up the edge. I can't wait to say it.
There you go.
Stand by.
He'll be better, though. So, that's a young team. I am a huge fan of Mike Vrabel.
Mm-hmm,
I love him. And I think he's done a fantastic job.
He has.
He's done a great job.
So we're talking a little bit. We started to talk about, you know, what, you know, everyone in retrospect, you can say, oh, you should have did this, you should have did that. So if we were to jump into a time machine.
Okay.
And let's talk about May. What do we think could have been done differently, maybe? That would have changed. I mean, because he kind of got it together just a little bit too late, right?
Well,
so he ended up with two touchdowns, also two interceptions. That's a different thing. So if we could go back and say, okay, let's play this game again, what will we do?
Well, I think the first thing you would do is you'd protect him better,
right?
He was harassed and he was under pressure, and you'd protect him a little bit better. You'd get mm-hmm. you'd find a little bit more rhythm to the offense, so that a young player like him, when it's going haywire and the pressure's like that on a young quarterback, it's difficult for them to settle down and settle into the game plan if there's no rhythm, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say. I'd say, number one, you know, he's going to be better next time. But if we're going back in time,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you got to find a better way to protect him.
So you've said game plan a few times. So is it, in fact, actually like how we have a show sheet, like the coaching staff and the team has a plan? Like, this is the thing we're going to do here today, like
yes.
an actual plan?
Yeah, that's what coaches do at the beginning of the week. Now, the Super Bowl, there's 2 weeks. But typically speaking, in any given NFL week, on Monday and Tuesday, the coaching staff is watching the tape for the next opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking at the offensive or defensive scheme, depending on which side of the ball they're on.
Mm-hmm.
And they are making a determination as to how they play and what's going to be the best way to attack what they do.
Hmm.
So every week, there's a different game plan. Now, there's a base system that you operate in.
That's when. well, win games.
That well, no, yeah. I mean, no. There's a philosophical system, okay. offensively and defensively. So you're going to run some plays all the time.
Okay,
but you're
okay.
going to specifically game plan certain protections, certain blitzes on defense, mm-hmm. certain coverages based on what you see them do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, and then you move. You know, the further along the week goes, the coordinators will then start to get a plan as to how they're going to actually attack. And a lot of teams will have the first 15 plays scripted, so that everybody knows those first 15 plays. And they never go according to 15 because there's game situations. Sometimes then it's third and two, or mm-hmm. you call a good third down, third and short play. If it's third and 10, you call mm-hmm. a better third and long play. But you get back to those first 15 plays, and then you get a sense of, okay, this is what they're doing this week, different than what they did before. This is how we can attack them here. This is what this coverage looks like. So let's adjust this route. Adjust this blocking scheme because this is what they're doing today. So it's happening the entire time.
Mm-hmm. So lovely. You know how we're at games sometimes and you're like, why they run that play? I'm now thinking that it's because that's one of the plays that was in the game plan. And, you know, that's what you're doing. You're working. You have a plan and you're working it, even if we in the stands don't always understand what's happening. So that makes sense.
Well, you basically see those big sheets that those yeah. coordinators have yeah. in front of them. It's full of plays.
I thought those were jokes yeah. that they were like, yeah, no, to get people and, to lighten
and
up.
And they're you know, broken down between game situation and...
No, I did. I mean, you know.
I'm sitting there bitching about the waste of play.
Can you say that word on the radio?
Bitching?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm like... Okay, I'm like just going to stare at
that. Or waste of play, which is worse.
Okay, so let's talk about mid-game troubleshooting. So I'm thinking it's, you know, halftime. The first half of the game went as it did. So now you're in the locker room. What are you saying that in words that we can say on the radio? What are you saying to the team if you are New England?
Well, first of all, you're reminding them that this halftime is twice as long as a typical halftime. Hmm. So relax. Okay,
we got to do a meditation. That's what we need to do.
Okay, and so and then, but it gives you a real opportunity to really look at what was happening in that first half and adjust some of those protections, like we just mm-hmm. talked about. So, you wanted to go back in time. Hmm. They actually didn't have to go back in time. They had time. And so what I'm sure they were doing is they were looking at the protections and looking at the ways that Seattle's defense were and how it was attacking them
mm-hmm.
and trying to come up with better ways to protect. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's what happens during halftime. It's happening all the time because obviously you've got coaches upstairs mm-hmm. in the box and you've got all the video technology and the pictures and the things that the teams get to study what's happening as the game progresses. There's mm-hmm. a snap. The pictures are taken before the snap and mm-hmm. right after the snap, so you get a chance to kind of see how people are attacking.
Ah.
And so there's a lot of technology. There's a lot of gamesmanship. There's a lot of strategy that is happening all the way from the beginning of the game to the end.
Well, what about the, you know, and I think I know that you will understand what I mean. Yes, but also these are humans, lovely, to your point. So I'm thinking still there is a mental component. So is that also being addressed in the halftime? Like, you know what I mean? Like the psychological, the mental, the nerves.
Again, this is pro football. If we gotta motivate you,
we got
the wrong kind of cat.
In the Super Bowl, no kidding.
Okay. But you're right.
Yeah, I like that.
But you're right. Everybody doesn't manage pressure and stress.
Yeah.
There's a difference between pressure and stress.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We all have to manage our and perform under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't want is you don't want pressure to turn into stress.
Right.
You want to be able to have the tools to manage the pressure, the confidence to manage the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. If there are players that you see that aren't managing the situation effectively, but that's what, you know, that's why you coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coaches will grab you. And I tell you, that's the thing that really I had to learn. The one thing I missed when I went from coaching
mm-hmm. to the front office
was the ability to put my hands on a guy and tell him, hey, this is what I saw. This is what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can't do that, you know, sitting up in the box. And so coaches will do that. Coaches have a great sense of what their players are, what makes them tick, what bothers them, what's going on, what they're asking them to do and when they're not
mm-hmm.
doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so coaches will grab players from time to time if they're not managing the situation effectively. I think there was an NFL Films show where they showed, might have been in the AFC Championship game, Drake was struggling. Drake May was struggling
mm-hmm,
on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear Josh say, dude, but if I know it's hard, but if we make it through this, trust me, it's going to be the greatest thing that ever happened to your life. So,
so
you see that stuff happening all the time. And there's a lot going
and
on.
He's another
on the sideline.
Baby. He's
yeah, I would have been saying something
old.
Different, but I'm glad that the coach said that to him. I have
you
different words.
At that time.
Yeah, no, I'm
and there's different ways
but
to encourage.
Differently.
There's positive reinforcement,
like, come on.
And negative reinforcement, right?
Yeah, wake up.
There are different ways to do it.
Yeah, okay. So, lovely.
Yes. So we're going to talk about Sam Darnold again.
Yes. since this is your guy.
Yeah, he really kind of is my guy. Oh, now, anyway, now, he played now a very clean game.
Over CJ?
No. Okay. Well, I don't know. CJ's got to dig out. You know, this used to be CJ's corner. And we took it away from him last year.
Unbeknownst to him. He never knew it was named after him, but we took it away.
And renamed it Coach Nelson's corner. You know, and we'll give it back in a minute. He just comes back. But anyway,
Sam.
As I said, Sam played a really clean game. He had 202 yards, one touchdown, and no picks, which is a big deal. From your perspective, how much did that turnover avoidance matter once Seattle realized it could win with defense and the ground game?
Yeah, it's hugely important. Again, it doesn't really matter. Everything heightens in the playoffs, right? So turnovers in the regular season you don't want, because again, I look at that stat. That turnover ratio stat is a really it's correlated to winning a lot, that in red zone scoring. And so you look at the fact that they're not turning the ball over, you're not giving the other team the ball, and you're protecting the football. That's huge, especially in the playoffs. And then like you mentioned, in the way that the game was happening, the way the defense was playing, if you don't turn it over, we're going to win. The only chance that they're going to have is maybe we give them some field position or give them some momentum, because football is a game of momentum, right? And so, if we don't turn the ball over, we're going to win. And that's easier said than done.
Yeah.
I mean, Sam played. I mean, you think about what this guy's done in the last 2 years and all the football games he's won as a quarterback. Now he's
How old is he? He's young, right? 25 or 26?
Yeah. He's
28.
Yeah, he's a little older than that. He's battling the past, right?
Mm.
So there's a perception of him because he hasn't been successful, and he goes to Minnesota and wins all those games and has that success last year. And I guess this is the greatest time than any to celebrate John Schneider, who's the GM for the Seattle Seahawks, because the guy has made some incredible moves.
And getting this coach locked in.
He hired a great coach. He won the Super Bowl twice with two different, completely different systems and schemes.
So that speaks to his leadership.
It does.
Yeah,
it does,
for sure.
And he
made some great great moves. I mean, going to get Sam, that move when he got rid of Russell a few years ago and
controversial, wasn't it?
He's made some moves and done some things, and he's just a good human being, first of all. Really good man. So I'd be remiss if I didn't celebrate what he's done. And the fact that he got Sam in there, and then the fact that, young Coops got it out of him the way that he did, Gary's son, who now is a head coach in Las Vegas now. But he did a fantastic job coaching Sam and getting the best out of him. So,
I mean, it was interestingly, obviously, I fell asleep for the first quarter. The queen of football.
Meanwhile, I took a nap so I could stay up to watch it. And then I'm like, where are you?
Sleep. I mean, I fell asleep. The phone rang.
Get you every time. Huh?
You know.
I mean, I'm always like, I watched all day the lead up, et cetera, which was boring. Yeah. And so I fell asleep after 2 hours of spin. That being said, I watched the game. I mean, I thought it was exciting. I mean, there was a lot.
Because your
of
team was winning.
In it. You know, no, my team wasn't real. Nobody was really winning.
This
it was
true.
Like one of those games that just, I don't love 67 to nothing, but 40-40 is really fun.
Yeah.
This was like nothing was sort
Everybody
of.
Everybody loves offense.
Huh?
People
See,
love offense.
Oh, we can't help ourselves.
Yeah, no.
You know, my 9-year-old granddaughter wants to be the quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, she's touchdowns. Not interested in being the cheerleader.
Right.
Hey,
or
we love
she
that.
Or do defense.
Right. Yes.
You know, she's ruling the world and throwing the ball. And, yeah, and I thought that too. I always thought if I could be the quarterback, forget that I have no hand-eye coordination, I would be the greatest ever. I
could of all time.
I really
believe
thought.
In you. That's a motivational speech.
Yeah, yeah,
I believe in you. So let's talk about leadership. So it's not, you were just mentioning it when you were talking about the GM. We talk about this all the time, and I think that some people don't realize how much leadership, like throughout an organization, impacts how that organization performs. So coaches, front office, et cetera. And just the GM at Seattle, how you're saying, I mean, first of all, I don't think everyone was excited about Sam coming when he first made that decision, right? Just because of Sam's past. And so talk to us about, like, in that seat as a GM from a personal leadership perspective, like, what do you have to make sure that you have sort of resolve around so you can go forward?
Yeah, how do you introduce them in?
How do you build a good, culture?
First of all, there has to be some alignment first, right?
Right.
So, and I would not necessarily agree with your premise that that team wasn't excited to get Sam.
Okay.
He is coming off a great season that he had just had in Minnesota. And he's a likable guy when he walks in the locker room. So I'm sure they took to him immediately.
Okay, good. So,
but with respect to the larger question, the biggest thing for leadership is a vision, right? You've got to set the vision for the organization and what that looks like. And then everybody has to do a couple things. They've got to understand what that vision is. So the leader has to articulate that vision very clearly so everybody can see it. And then he or she has to make sure that everyone knows their role in the organization and why their role is important. And why they have to be the best at their role and how it fits in the cog. Because if everybody's doing their job as efficiently and as best as possible and understands how they fit in the big picture, then they got buy-in and they're going to do the best that they can. And that's when you get some success, right? It's when you don't have alignment and there are agendas over here and competing ideas over here and the thing's not moving in the same direction. That you have splinters and you have failure, but if you can, it's up to the leadership to paint the vision and then make sure that everybody understands that. And then the last thing that they do is they make sure that everybody's got the resources that they need to do their job.
Yes.
And if you can set that up, then the leader's doing two things: he's praising and promoting, or he's curing and correcting. Right, and the thing just runs. That's when you know you've got a good organization is when the leadership is that way.
But it starts with another question.
And then we have one more question, and then we have to wrap, and then we'll weigh in with the final question that you'll have to ponder. Go ahead, lovely.
How did you learn all this? Was there training for general manager? No, I'm serious.
General
I'm
manager,
you
can't.
Did you take specific leadership courses?
I have been in leadership positions my entire life.
Okay.
I was, captain of pretty much every team I was on.
Okay.
I was, president of my pledge class. I tell people I was driver number one, car number one in my 11th grade driver's aid class. I've always been out front.
Okay.
And I study leadership.
Okay.
Right? And that's what I'm doing now. I mean, I'm working with executives and organizations in leadership development. And so it came natural, but I've studied it and I've done it. And then I take a lot of the things that I did when I was in those positions.
Well,
and that's how
I just want to compliment you because the dialogue is very clear when you're talking about it. It's clear, it's succinct, and it's kind of fun to use all the things. Good. So, I mean,
listen, that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
It's not enough to have information and then to be able to talk about information, but you want it to be actionable. So I want to be able to tell you something and then you can take what I said and then that's the coach in me, right?
Yeah.
So
how can people find out more about what you're doing? You said you're leading organizations and doing leadership things.
Yeah.
So where do they find out more about that if they want to connect?
I am ricksmith.com. If you're plugging me.
We are plugging you.
Okay.
We want you to be so busy. We never want you to be so busy you can't come back.
Yeah, you have to come back. So we'll have you come back and talk about your business at a different time.
Sure.
But I need to get a Super Bowl ring. Okay. So ponder that. We're going to have to go to a break. But thank you so much. This has been fantastic.
Oh, we loved having you. And I have just one last
thing. Oh, God. Lady.
I have to say this one thing, and I'm saying it.
She's editing this video.
The strangest thing about the whole Super Bowl to me, not strange, but you know I'm all about presentation, was how much better looking Sam Darnold was than his pictures. And how much worse looking Derek May was.
Okay.
And I was stunned.
And with that, we're going to go to a break. We'll be back.
Bye, everybody.
Oh, my God. You're crazy.
I think that was important.
Of course you do.
Everyone's loved that take from me.
Of course they have. At Culture Club HTX, you know we want you to stay fabulous, which is why we've teamed up with Dr. Michael J. Streitman at Westlake Dermatology and Cosmetic Surgery. Dr. Streitman prides himself on delivering the gold standard of care to his clients. He's board certified and performs surgery in the private surgical suite at Westlake, as well as provides non-invasive services like Botox and fillers. If you're ready to receive the gold standard of care, make an appointment with Dr. Streitman today at westlakedermatology.com. And be sure to mention that Culture Club HTX sent you for a special treat.
It's Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Shavonna Robert-Schreiber.
And we're back.
Hi!
Hi, I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson, Bowman Lombardi, the fashionista, bio babe, Coach Nelson, and chair of the board of the American Cancer Society of Greater Houston, and I might just take this whole segment to talk about
us. There's so much going on. Oh, and, I'm doing the thing, too.
You are, I know. So you introduce yourself, then we'll talk about the thing
Who is the lady over here talking? Siobhana Robbins-Schreiber, the other half.
Anyone ever know who you are?
You know what? Somebody just sent me a note and said something about, oh, did we spell your name wrong? I'm like, I don't need a name tag. I'll be anonymous. And they said, you're anonymous like the sun. Siobhana Robbins-Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, the executive producer, the eighth wonder of the world, the parliamentarian.
All the things.
Yes. Oh, look, she didn't get upset. Okay, so
I'm not upset. Okay, so good. I have so much to share.
ACS.
Yes.
American Cancer Society. Oh, she turned all her things off, but everything's going off. Okay.
Honestly.
Okay.
I swear to God, nothing.
Oh, swear. Now you're swearing to God.
Yeah, look.
Magical.
Red.
Magical.
Wait, I'm showing because she never believed me.
It just went off. Did you not hear it?
Well, but it's not on. Look.
It's red. Not on, but it's not on, but it went off. Oh.
Off. It's off.
Okay.
It wasn't on. It's okay. Not me.
Mm.
It was you.
It was me.
It was you.
Okay, so ACS, Chair of Greater Houston, talk to us. There's so much.
So exciting stuff is going on, mm-hmm. including we had our Champions Against Cancer
a
couple of weeks ago, and I hosted it in my building,
mm-hmm.
and it was just fabulous, where we honored the people that are making breakthroughs for us every day, mm-hmm. all the way from the Rising Star of the Year to the Employee of the Year.
And these are volunteers, donors, everything.
And they don't know that they're getting this award.
Oh, that's so fun.
You know, even our great friends Chip and Shree. For Men Wear Pink.
Yes.
So, I mean, the American Cancer Society is the largest cancer research organization mm-hmm. in the United States, funding-wise. It's the largest healthcare nonprofit mm-hmm. in the United States. And our research dollars are second only to the U.S. government,
mm-hmm.
which we could be catching up
at
this
you may
point.
Be surpassing.
Yeah, we
all
may
things
be
considered.
Surpassing. And for those of you who don't know, but I know I've said it 100 times, is whatever you donate to us gets mm-hmm. at least tripled and sometimes quadrupled and 5 times and 6 times and all the things in our investments in the community. And in doing that, we have a couple of big things going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we have all kinds of applications for funding, but we now have our own venture fund.
Oh.
So there's all kinds, because basically what we really invest in is early stage,
mm-hmm.
which makes so much sense.
Of course.
But the venture firm is investing in mid stage and commercialization and all the things.
Because interesting.
What you all need to know, because mm-hmm. this is really important, is we have a lot of breakthrough science out there.
We
a
do.
Lot of cures. We need money
to fund the research to continue.
Yep. We need money to get them to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know,
mm-hmm.
if somebody asks you for it, it's because we need it, not because we're out there playing fat cats. So anyway, we gave these extraordinary awards away, and we're doing a lot of other really important things in the community, one of which, Voices of Black Women.
Yes, yes, yes.
And
yes.
My friend here is taking on a big role.
Yeah, so that is one, but then I'm also, so that was a campaign that started maybe a year ago, mm-hmm. and now it's sort of doing a relaunch, a rebrand, a reimagination.
Yes.
And so the Voices of Black Women is all about making sure that folks know, I mean, understand that disproportionately Black women, but not just Black women, women of color, but in this particular instance, Black women are impacted and have negative outcomes of all types of cancer.
Right, right.
So this campaign is really around screening, education, et cetera. And I'm happy to be a part of it. And it's a national campaign. And
yes.
so there are ambassadors all over the United States. And so you'll hear more. So stand by, as you would say.
Yeah, a lot. And what else are you?
I'm also going to be the, and this is going to be a fun one, the ambassador, what would I call it? Leader, maybe, for Men Wear Pink. So Men Wear Pink.
You're the recruiting leader. Is that what you are?
No.
No, you're just going to manage the ambassador.
So once the ambassadors sign up, I get to executive produce them and help
Excellent.
Them raise money.
Oh, God, that's going to be so. So in case you don't know what our Men Wear Pink is.
Recruiter.
It's the men's campaign for the month of October, uh-huh. Breast Cancer Awareness Month, where men commit to raise at least $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And when we started, our first year was like 180,000 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And this last year, it was almost 600,000.
Mm-hmm.
And our incredible chairs, Trip and Shree,
yes.
who won the award last night
yep,
for best
yep.
of everything, raised over $1 million in 2 years
awesome.
As chair. So,
oh, they
I mean,
were chairs for 2 years.
2 years. And so it's just, it, you know, it has exploded and will continue to.
So stand
and
by,
please,
folks.
Well, stand by, but also reach out to either one of us if you would like to be an ambassador. It's really fun.
Or if you know there's any guys that you want to make be an ambassador.
I mean, there are events the whole month of October.
You know, whatever.
And a friend of mine that I signed up this last year said it was one of the best networking experiences.
Yeah, it's
of his
super
life.
Fun. I mean, so one really the only thing you have to do is commit to wearing something pink for
every
the entire
day.
Month. And it can be a pin, it can be a shirt,
anything.
Whatever.
Well, we give you a wristband.
Oh, so and
so
then the wristband
can donate,
can,
you know,
people can
electronic.
Scan and donate. So that's pretty clever. And then you get to either host your own events where you invite friends, colleagues to, you know, learn about the campaign and donate. And you get to go to other events that are hosted. So it is great networking. It really is.
Okay.
And then the next big, big thing.
The big thing that's coming up, in case you haven't heard
of it. How are you the chair again? I got your note.
I'm the honorary chair for life, basically.
Okay.
Because I'm the founding
honorary chair. This is very on brand for you, Leslie.
This is very on brand for me. So it's not really for life, but it's as long as I guess I want to do it. The Tickle Pink Luncheon. Is a Mother's Day luncheon for breast cancer, to support breast cancer. Often we will honor someone that's had a different cancer because they've been so supportive of our organization.
Yes.
Okay. But basically, we launched in 2021, right after COVID. It was sort of the comeback luncheon, the first event, September of 21, attended by a packed house at River Oaks Country Club of women in pink with pink champagne. And I love to share that we couldn't get anybody to leave.
Yes.
You know, everybody is watching the clock for a luncheon that's over at 1 to be over at 12:55.
Hello.
2 o'clock, we're trying to get
like,
people
get
out of there.
Because
it was bottomless and it had been a year and a half and nobody had seen each other. So here we are. This is going to be our sixth year.
Yes.
It's at the Post Oak Hotel on April 24th. I think
save
the festivities start around 10:30 in the morning or 11.
Can
bottomless
people buy
champagne.
Tickets now?
They can buy tickets right now at thetickledpinkluncheon.com.
And if you don't wear pink, Lovely will harass you.
I will.
So wear pink.
Yeah, wear pink. Everybody wears pink.
I mean, I wore pink, but even you have to have on all pink, according to
Well,
you
don't have to have it all pink.
Oh,
but
oh.
It was you. You should have been in pink.
Well.
You know, but anyway, Tickle Pink, there's been so much leading up. We had a kickoff party a couple weeks ago at Tootsie's, and then we're having a luncheon for the past and current honorees at the Grand Duca's donating to us on March 3rd, which is so lovely.
That is nice.
And we hope we'll have another event at Christy Lynn, which we had last year, a luncheon and shopping party.
And then, a sold-out Tickle Pink.
Yeah, and a sold-out Tickle Pink. So you buy your tickets because it will sell out.
So where do people go? So if people are hearing this and are thinking, okay, I know generally speaking what the American Cancer Society is, but I want to learn more about all of these things, what's the best place for them to go?
So easy. Cancer.org.
Well, there you go.
And you can just drill, I guess, into Houston.
Yeah, I think locations and then
Houston. Cancer.org. But cancer.org. I'll get going again.
Okay, well, we have some limited
so
time.
Much, I know, but there's so many things on cancer.org. Not one of the most important things is our information hotline that will really guide you wherever you are in your cancer journey, whether you're a caregiver, the patient, wherever you are, you can get help and you can get the contact that you need. So it's truly, it's amazing. And I'm going to try to stop. But really hard for me.
well,
hard for me here. I mean, this is...
No, this is great. I mean, so just another thing. So on cancer.org, as Lovely mentioned, you can learn all about cancers, variety of services, programs, ways to give, how to get involved, and the research. So that's one of the things you start talking about.
Yeah.
So going there to learn more about the research, and then you can just hit the search, type in Houston, and learn all about these fabulous events. And with that...
I guess we have to go, but there's one more.
Oh, God, what?
In November, we have Shuck Cancer, which is our next gen, younger crowd. This year, we had 1,100 people at Silver Street
So this is
Studios.
The emerging leader, so if you've emerged, they'll let you come, but you can't.
And if you want to emerge, you really need to
get
there.
If you want to emerge, you should get there, but like if you've emerged, it's kind of like husband
Well,
emerges.
I'm kind of there.
Oh, I mean,
I'm
I have emerged.
Yeah.
Someone said something, ma'am. They're like, oh, I didn't mean to say ma'am. I'm like, I'm used to it. It's fine. Anyway, all right, we'll take a break.
Bye.
Are you a business owner and looking for a fun and low-cost way to advertise? Yes? Super. you should join our Culture Club HTX crew. Visit us at cultureclubhtx.com and click on Culture Club HTX crew, or send us an email at connect@cultureclubhtx. You'll be happy you did.
You're listening to Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now it's time to talk some business with Lisa Holland Nelson and Shavonna Robert Schreiber inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
Hello, we're back. I'm Lisa Holland Nelson Bowman Lombardi, the fashionista, bio babe. That's biography, not biology.
And she's still floating from our last guest.
I just think Rick Smith is fabulous.
We know.
We all know. But I'm also Coach Nelson, the greatest football coach you never watched on the sideline. So hanging out with the former general manager
shop.
Of the Texans
talking
to me.
Shop. Talking
I was
coach
talking shop.
Shop.
I was so happy.
Meanwhile, but she knows none of the...
She has the really good questions because I don't really know anything.
She was just over here
I'm
like,
just really good at calling stuff. I do. I call the plays and they work. And when I call them and they don't, you know, other people call them when they don't. I don't call them when... Anyway, I'm here with my... beautiful, blessed, best, black, bossy co-host. What's your name?
Shavonna Roberts. Who's bossy? Shavonna Roberts Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, the executive producer, the eighth wonder of the world, and the parliamentarian who's working hard today. And we are in business.
Which is so exciting.
Which is, you know, sort of a continuation of our breakdown with Rick around the Super Bowl. So talk to us about what's happening in business, lovely.
Well, ChatGPT started showing ads, and the rival AI company roasts them during the Super Bowl. So this is interesting. The tool millions of people trust to give them unbiased answers.
Which is not really true, but whatever.
Is now in the advertising business, and the fight between AI companies over who stays pure got personal during the Super Bowl. The question is whether you can keep trusting an AI assistant that's also trying to sell you stuff.
No, why is that a question? Who has that question?
I mean, like, it's all...
What human has that question? There's no question.
The whole thing is... I'm always going to go back to this. Technology does not make technology work. People do. Give them somebody. I mean, I had even people on my team talking about how easy it is. Just hand it off. And I went, you don't get to do that. You know,
well, convenience comes at a cost. I've been saying this forever. No one listens to me. You got to check the work. And eventually your brain or the muscle starts to atrophy and then you can't do anything. So what was the big thing?
It turns out that OpenAI started testing ads in ChatGPT this week, a couple weeks ago, actually, and for free users, and the $8 a month Go plan, which was all over the Super Bowl, which I didn't get at all.
So the big drama was the rival company, Anthropic, so they're the makers of Claude, ran a Super Bowl ad mocking ChatGPT's move, showing a man seeking advice being steered toward, quote, a mature dating site that connects sensitive clubs with roaring cougars. That was the tagline. So then their tagline was ads are coming to AI, but not to Claude. So, yeah, it's just, you know, it's kind of interesting because I think you know, what makes me wonder, do people even get it?
Well, how many people know what Claude is?
Yeah.
I mean, let's get real.
I know,
here.
But yeah.
Well,
but
no,
yeah.
My team started talking about it a couple weeks ago, and I'm just kind of, I try to smile and not look stupid, but eventually I have to go, what is Claude?
It's just that's basically their brand.
It's a brand.
And it's, you know, and so that's another thing. So ChatGPT, from a marketing standpoint, did a good job. You know what it reminds me of? It's like Zoom. Everyone says, let's do a Zoom, even if they're using Microsoft Teams or WebEx.
ChatGPT is the brand.
Yeah, and so they did a good job branding themselves, whereas Anthropic is the company that made Claude, and there are other ones also. So it's just kind of interesting. We'll see where that goes.
Talk about the concerns here. Why are they doing it? Money problems, obviously.
Only because it's free.
Only 20 million of ChatGPT's 800 million weekly users pay for subscriptions.
Yeah.
You know, well, it started out as a free tool, and so why, you know, who expected anything else? Because
you know what I think they're going to have to do is the Google model, where, you know, as you remember, Google was free, and then the way they started to make money is they start to charge for storage. So now people never delete their Gmail, and so now the storage gets too big, and the free version is not that big anymore. So now, in order to have a Google, if you don't clean out your email, you have to pay something.
Well, and then they realize that if you pay for your ad, you'll be up top.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, before everybody figured out the paid ads were paid ads.
Right.
But in the beginning, you were ranking.
So I think what we're going to probably see is something similar with ChatGPT, where they're going to have to figure out a commercialization model in order to make money, because they're not making any money. So what else?
Here's Target is already testing ads through their retail media network, Roundel. Well, the thing is, like, what are we concerned about here? Trust erosion. Can you trust answers from an AI that's also trying to sell you stuff?
No. I mean, I'm not concerned. I know the answer. No.
Okay.
Like, I mean, this is what I'm like. No, I'm not concerned. The answer is no.
So they're going to do, you know, I mean, intent-based monetization. Leaked code suggests ChatGPT might earn commissions by recommending specific products. Well, gee, who's not doing that? Don't we call that referral marketing?
I don't know.
Hasn't that been going on for 1,000 years, if not, you know, 5,000? Anyway, the privacy situation is a question. Flip-flopping principles. I mean, just, it's all... It's just all whatever.
So let's talk about another kind of, I mean, this is a commercial, speaking of commercialization, Valentine's Day, we just had that. And so, Lovely, you wanted to go into this. So Wallet Hub, they said that Texas, we ranked the third best state for singles in 2026. I mean, what are our thoughts? Break. What?
I mean, which singles? I'm just
curious. I don't know.
I mean,
so
seriously.
Texas claimed number 3 spot on Wallet Hub's annual Best and Worst States for Singles report in 2026. So we're trailing behind Florida and New York. And they say that the reason we're best for singles is because we have dense population. We have a dense population. We have lots of entertainment venues. And we are psychologically open to commitment.
Well, and our food scene is beyond. That's another thing. We've got activities to do, but the food, like foodies, just go crazy and they can find each other.
Right. And so it's just interesting because you talk about commercialization and, you know, making money. And I've always said, I mean, we saw the tents all week set up at all the grocery store parking lots for the roses that cost $9 on any other day that are $25.
Right now.
Right. Yeah. It's nuts.
What, the $19 for 2 dozen at Costco or 45?
Yeah. I mean,
hello, Costco.
Well, they'll deliver
them, but they're $45.
No, but hello, humans. I'm like, if y'all don't buy those roses the week before and be like, hey, happy Valentine's Day, get ahead of the game or wait. Buy them, you know, 3 days later is what I would do. I mean, that's just
crazy. Laura's dad would always either send him the day before or the day after. Like, he was ornery.
I kind of get it.
On Valentine's Day.
But, you know, you talk about commercialization and, you know, from a business standpoint, it's just fascinating to me how much this day has turned into just a money grab. I feel like it's a cash grab.
Another piece of it is the economic strength of Texas.
Yeah.
We're boasting the third highest employment growth in the U.S., signaling a robust job market for singles across industries. So that would bring people here, but also when you get here, there's a possibility he's not a bum.
Well, you know what? Now, here's the thing, and this is like a little bit of sports, a little bit of business, a little bit of probably we can't talk about it on the radio, but you know every time we have a big sporting event, people like pour in.
Yes.
Women folk pour in because of things like this.
I have a story.
What?
Share.
Okay, huh? but that's kind of a thing. So,
well, you know how I am. I mean, my friends who show up at the rodeo and turn into other beings. it's like the craziest thing.
If you're single, apparently, you know, Texas is ready to mingle, and Houston in particular, right? That's basically what we're saying.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. And with that, we got to close our show. I mean,
We do. We have to go bye-bye.
We have to go bye-bye.
Magical says we have to go.
We have to go bye-bye. Well, this has been great.
It has. This is really
well. First of all, the fact that Rick Smith was here. I mean, I think we could have talked about
that. She surprised me with Rick Smith.
I know, because you wouldn't have been able to contain yourself if you'd known that earlier. So I had to wait.
I found out yesterday,
the day before.
He doesn't even. I told him, but he can't even comprehend. For those of you who don't know this, I really did meet Rick Smith. I think when he got here in 2005 or 2006,
and that's when you fell in love with him.
Oh, beyond, beyond. I mean, I was just starting to do stuff that was big time. And he and his partner, Jamie Roots at the Texans, were just my biggest supporters.
Uh-huh.
They were so great.
Uh-huh.
They just were so great.
So let's close the show because I feel like we're getting off the rails. We want you to what?
We want you to be bold.
We want you to be elegant like Rick.
Yes. Yeah. Be focused.
Be fit.
and be fabulous.
See you
next
week.
Don't ever forget that.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
At Culture Club HTX, you know we want you to stay fabulous, which is why we've teamed up with Dr. Michael J. Streitman at Westlake Dermatology and Cosmetic Surgery. Dr. Streitman prides himself on delivering the gold standard of care to his clients. He's board certified and performs surgery in the private surgical suite at Westlake, as well as provides non-invasive services like Botox and fillers. If you're ready to receive the gold standard of care, make an appointment with Dr. Streitman today at westlakedermatology.com. And be sure to mention that Culture Club HTX sent you for a special treat.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.